This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM Channel 158. Gil Alexander in San Francisco this week. A little summertime in San Francisco. Can't beat it. Kelly Bidlin back at Las Vegas. Kelly, you still lonely back there? You all right?
Yeah, man. I'm all by myself. Just hanging out. Lots of room for activities, though. Lots of room for activities here in the studio. I can do whatever.
I can do some push-ups
during the break if I want. I could do some sprints back and forth. You know, I could do a lot.
You know what I feel like we have shortchanged the first 2 hours of the show here? Erling Haaland, your boy.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't given him enough. It's interesting because we're talking about Golden Boot, how, again, Mbappe technically leads because not only does he have the 7 goals, he has 2 assists. Then it's Messi because he got the 7 goals in the fewest amount of minutes. And then it's Haaland with 7. But I feel like if you just take a step back and you're like, what's the headline of this tournament? I feel like it's Erling Haaland in Norway. Don't you?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, I was already obsessed with the guy coming into it, so it's like a little hard to be unbiased about this, right? This conversation. But yeah, probably. I'm trying to think. I mean, like, England's going to be a fun story and one of the biggest stories for as long as they can go, right? And I guess obviously USA, you would say the same thing about. But yeah, other than that, I think Norway's the story. And, you know, 17-1 right now to win it all. It's France plus 170, Argentina plus 425, England plus 520, Spain plus 550. Well, I guess they dropped down a bit. Portugal 14-1, Norway 17-1. Yeah, I guess, Gil, what I would say is, you know, do the soccer hardos, right? Right. Have their minds been changed at all about Norway through this run? And I don't know. I think the odds are kind of still telling us, nah, there's still another tier down, from this top group of teams. So we'll see, man. You know, I'll be rooting for them here on out. That's for sure.
Yeah. And then, look, a couple things. One, the final chapter hasn't been written about this, so clearly we won't know what the headline is until the very end. And also the reason that Spain has incrementally dropped is because they haven't played yet, right?
Right.
In the round of 16, they play Portugal today, which is no cakewalk, even though Spain is favored and predicted to win by many, including some of our guests here today. But yeah, I just think I've had more fun. I think I speak for most Americans, and yeah, America's Team USA, like if Team USA were to get eliminated tonight, would this in any way diminish your joy for the quarterfinals moving forward?
Not at all. I think the story of the tournament for me really is more just the tournament itself and just how amazing this is being played in North American time zones, right? Just that we're getting this all day, every day. It's just, I honestly, Team USA in the success is like, that's a secondary story to me. Like, it's just been the tournament, agreed, how awesome it's been. It's been the primary one for me.
You're right, though. That's an underrated thing about this. The fact that it is in our time zone, right? Because what was it? Was it 98, the one in Korea? And I loved our trip to Seoul, a couple years ago. But the time zone difference, like here in the Pacific time zone, I was in California at the time. I mean, you had to stay up until the middle of the night to watch those matches.
Right.
So it was like a completely different experience. And so, again, doubleheader today, Spain-Portugal, 3 p.m. Eastern, and then the United States of America and Belgium, whether with Flo Balogun or not, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I also thought the delay of an hour for the weather yesterday in the Mexico-England match.
Yeah.
Built up the drama also for that, the most anticipated of all the
Yeah, you're right. That only helped. Yeah, and it was I was out for the beginning of that, and yeah, it was just more and more people were filing in, and yeah, you get an extra hour of pregame drinks going. It was getting rowdy already for the beginning of that game. That was fun. It's a fun one to be out for and see the crowds.
Yeah, Norway, England on Saturday, man. Whew, that's another one. Just a banger. of a soccer match.
Well, and that's where, I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait for that one, Gil, because I think England's looked a little bit better than I was expecting to.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there are some star players on that team, but man, the way that they're all playing so well and well together. I mean, Jude Bellingham's been awesome. Harry Kane always kind of does this, it feels like, but there's so many options on that team. And I think that one's going to be really, really fun to watch. It was wild. Norway with the possession game. I was just sitting there screaming for the first half. Like, you gotta feed the big man. You somehow get it into him somehow. You go to halftime and you're like, it felt like a defeated first half. I had Norway futures tickets to get to the quarterfinals, so that's what I was rooting on. But, you know, you get to halftime and you're like, all right, you're owning the possession battle. I Brazil's not playing great either, but it didn't feel like Norway ever really blew any chances because they were really never all that close to scoring at all.
Yeah, it's not the number of touches he has; it's the number of opportunities.
Yep.
And as Zlatan Ibrahimovic said during the broadcast yesterday, he goes, "As long as he scores, the day's a success, even if he only touches the soccer ball 10 times." JD in Florida just listened to the update on Greg Peterson's weekend. Bravo, brother. Everyone comes into our life for a reason, and those past ones taught you what you needed to get to this one. God, I hope so. God, I hope so, JD. We all wish the best for Greg and his dating exploits. By the way, if you played the Noskova play along with me here, she is up a set and a break. 3-1 here in the second after winning the first set 6-4. What could go wrong, Kelly Bidlin?
Oh, I'm sure you're fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure nothing will go wrong. Baseball, because we looked at these briefly last week, so we just wanted to complete the arc here. We looked at divisions in the American League, and that was not straightforward, right? With the Rays up 4 games over the Yankees, heading into a 4-game set today. Obviously, the AL Central being a complete logjam between the White Sox and the Guardians, but really, I mean, including the Twins, who are only 4 back, the Tigers, who are 7.5 back, are saying, don't leave us out. And then the Mariners, the Rangers, the Astros, and the Athletics in the AL West. The National League, which we didn't get to, is a whole bunch more straightforward.
Yeah.
Braves, although maybe not so much in these two divisions, certainly in the West, where the Dodgers have a 14-game lead over both the Diamondbacks and Padres, and we are not even at the All-Star break. In the East, the Braves, 3-game lead over the Phillies, 4.5 over the Marlins. By the way, Dodgers minus 20,000 to win the NL West. Padres and Diamondbacks 40-1 and 50-1, respectively. Giants looking to unload parts in the West. But back to the East. This is interesting because if you go to FanGraphs final season projections, because a lot of us have said, hey, look, Phillies, great bet to win the division. Well, now they're down to plus 145, right? Braves are minus 175 to win with a 3-game lead. Phillies are plus 145. Marlins, who are 3-game lead. Yeah, Marlins, who are 4.5 back, are 25-1. If you go to the FanGraphs projections on what the final standings will be, what they have is the Braves actually eking it out by 2 games. They have the Braves finishing 91-71, the Phillies finishing 89-73, and if you're wondering about the Marlins, 83-79. So the Marlins come back to earth just a bit. But that goes against, right? Like, so the conventional wisdom has been, hey, for all that talk about the Braves early, the Phillies poised to do it. Not according to FanGraphs. They think the Braves eke it out, that the Braves record actually increases both in terms of run production, average per game increases, run prevention gets better as well. Whereas with the Phillies, both actually come down to earth. So that's an interesting viewpoint, at least from the FanGraphs folks.
Yeah, that's
I don't think there's a bet here.
Okay. Yeah. So you think Braves are going to be able to maintain this lead? Well, what regardless, winning this division.
I'm not saying either. What I'm saying is I don't like the price on either, right? It's too close to call to spend the next 70 games and 2.5 months of our baseball lives sweating out a plus 145, for instance, on the Braves, or a minus on the Phillies. Or a minus 175 on the Braves.
More long term, though, who do you believe more in here, Braves or Phillies?
I kind of believe in the Phillies more, man.
Yeah, me too.
I believe in the frontline pitching a little more. I believe in their hitting more. So
I think I'm that way too. That's why I wanted to bring it up. Marlins 49-42, 25-1 in this division. Is this going to be an old Marlins story? Like, are there going to be some selling at the deadline here, or do you think this Marlins team are they going to keep it together?
Oh, they should keep it together now, yeah. Right? I mean, they're in this. They're right now. They're a wild card team, or at least tied, I think, for the last wild card position. So, yeah, I mean, this has been by any measure a successful half plus of a season. So good on that franchise, good on what they've done. They've been the best team in baseball since June 1st. They were the best team in June. It was the best month of baseball for any team in the last 2.5 years, calendar month. So, I don't think they're going to win the division, but they are certainly alive for a playoff spot. As far as the Central, we've talked about this on this show many times, and I had the Cubs last month with an easier schedule. But it's the Brewers, man, and it's always been the Brewers. They have a 6-game lead. If I do the Fangraphs projections that I just did with the Braves and Phillies, according to Fangraphs, Brewers finished the season 94-88. Only the Dodgers will be better, and the Cubs will be the next closest team, but they're a full 7 games back at 87-75. So if you're to believe the people at Fangraphs, forget about us. This is maintained by the Brewers, and with their plus 127 run differential, again, only the Dodgers is better. I expect them to win the Central. Minus 475, too expensive to bet, though.
Okay, I'm going to same question, different sort of teams here. Who do you believe in more long-term, Cardinals or Pirates?
Great question. I'm going to say Pirates.
Okay.
How about that?
I think I'd go that way, too, but...
Again, those two teams... fighting for the second to last or last wild card berth as well. But we'll see. Long season still to come. Coming back, Adam Burke, his Guardians remain above 500. We'll talk baseball with him. He's got plays next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The fireworks have faded, but we're still celebrating here at VSiN through July 7th. That is through tomorrow. For just $299, you get 2 full years of VSiN Pro access. That's nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You'll get our NFL season betting guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings to Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every single betting guide that we do. Boop, 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 boop. I think that's double digits worth of betting guide by our tabulation, season previews, VSiN Pro feature, and we release over the next 2 years, or that we release, I should say, over the next 2 years. But don't wait. Special 4th of July offer disappears after tomorrow. That's it. Poof. Gone. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now to lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Twitter from Shrek McPhee. Am I missing something? Why is Sinner still under $2 to win this? We know how this ends versus Zverev. Joker may lose tomorrow. He's been average by his standards at times, but isn't that still probably good enough? LOL. I think it is. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, there is. Listen, the only thing I would say in counter to that is, I did say before the tournament, if Djokovic is to win his 25th slam, it's here and now. That's it. It's never going to happen after this. And I don't know how many slams, honestly, that he'll play after this. I'm thinking it might be the U.S. Open, and he might ride off into the sunset. Could be wrong about that. So I don't know. Is a Djokovic-Sinner match going to be primetime, you know, awesome television? Yes. But I do think Sinner is probably a little... You know, I don't know about properly priced, probably a little low still. I would agree with you, Shrek. Adam Burke joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Speaking of our 4th of July special and all those betting guys you can get over the next 2 years, he is the man that steers the ship on all of those. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods. Happy belated 4th of July to you, Adam.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about the giant VSiN blowout party that we had over the weekend. I think it was a pretty tough Sunday for most of us, kind of based on how that day played out. But yeah, we're 4 weeks away from our college football betting guide. So, you know, talking about all the betting guides, you get 4 weeks away from the college one. I mean, that's a very big, very important guide with the transfer portal and all that. So great time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for sure.
That is you said it best. That is a very important guide. They're all important, but that one seems to be the most important based on all the movement of players. Let's start, Adam, where I think I mention this almost every time you're on. How are your Guardians still above 500? How is this happening?
I don't know. I really don't know, right? I mean, like, Stephen Vogt maybe just has become the Mike Tomlin of Major League Baseball, where I don't know if it's voodoo magic in the late innings or what it is, but I mean, this team, for some reason, they always find a way to at least, you know, keep games competitive, if not find a way to pull them out. You know, the series against the White Sox could have went better. Obviously, they struggled their way through their last couple of games there in that one. But, you know, look, I mean, they seem to mix and match well enough with relievers. But the thing that's been really interesting to me is that, you know, they employ a ton of platoons, and the short side platoon guys like Rhys Hoskins and David Fry are not doing what they're supposed to do really against lefties, especially in pinch hit situations. And yet they keep doing it, and yet they still keep winning in spite of it. So I don't know, man, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. One game behind the White Sox in the AL Central. I said it on, I think on Should Have Bet More with Will a few weeks back. I'm like, if they can somehow stay 500 before Jose Ramirez comes back, they've done their job. And so far, so good for the Cleveland Guardians, who are expecting Ramirez back late July. But I always think about after the All-Star break that it's fair game, like right after that. Who knows when Ramirez comes back? Who knows when Judge comes back? Ramirez scheduled to come back well before Judge, though. Judge just expected to be evaluated first after the All-Star break for the Yankees. You have a couple plays today, all centered around the National League West. You're on the Padres today.
Yeah, I am on the Padres today. By the way, something to keep in mind, the MLB trade deadline is actually August 3rd this year, so it's pushed back a few days. Huh. Yes. I don't know what that'll mean in terms of, you know, how much of a frenzy we do get. But given the fact that there's really only two teams that stand out in the American League, the Yankees and the Rays, I've got to think a team like Cleveland, who actually has a cache of prospects, is going to be relatively aggressive. I also think a Seattle and a Texas are going to be pretty aggressive too. So could be a whole lot of fun, you know, in terms of kind of looking ahead to that. You know, the day our college football guide comes out. As far as the Padres go today, yeah, I'm looking for a bounce back from Walker Buehler here. Been really, really good at Petco Park this season, as most guys are. But, you know, last time out, part of that game where the Padres gave up 23 runs to the Cubs, it was hot at Wrigley Field. It was a great day to hit. Didn't really help the Padres offense too much, but it certainly helped the Cubs offense to score 23 runs. I think that was just kind of an outlier for Buehler. He's mostly been good. You know, and the Padres have a really good pitching coach in Ruben Niebla. I think he's kind of figured some things out, kind of unlocked some of the potential that Walker Buehler still has based on how talented he is. And I just don't think that Brandon Pfaadt is an MLB caliber starting pitcher right now. Only gave up one run last time out against the Giants in 5 1/3, but only a couple of strikeouts, a 3% swinging strike rate, chase rate around 15%. Like, this stuff wasn't that good. He just had good outcomes on batted balls in play. I don't know if that's going to be sustainable for him. Diamondbacks have been really, really bad with men in scoring position for a long time now. A little bit worried. The Padres probably don't have Mason Miller tonight. He's pitched back-to-back days. Adrian Morahone's thrown 64 pitches in the last 3 days, 38 yesterday. So their top two relievers probably not available, but I still think this is a good price to grab them here. Where Buehler's been really good at home, and Pfaadt, I just don't trust anywhere.
Rockies, early going, but in the early going, they do have the best record in the month of July, 4-1 out of the chute. They take on the Dodgers tonight.
Yeah, so, you know, with Colorado, there's been a lot of talk over the years about the Coors Field effect, right? I mean, we know what they can do offensively at home. It's a very big, spacious ballpark as well. But when you go out on the road, you know, pitches spin differently. Guys are going to pitch you differently. Usually this is a team that strikes out a ton when they play away from Coors Field. Their strikeout rate's still 24% on the road, which is still pretty high, but they're 14th in weighted on base average away from home this season. I don't know if maybe actually hiring some quants in the front office has really helped them out, but they're performing much, much better on the road than they usually do. I give them a lot of credit for that. And tonight they face Eric Lauer. A lot of regression signs in the profile for him. 2.88 ERA, 4.03 expected ERA, 5.21 FIP in his starts as a Dodger, as well as the bulk relief appearance he had against the Twins a couple of outings ago. So Lauer's a guy that's got some regression signs for sure. They're very obvious. He doesn't strike out a lot of guys. Colorado should be able to put balls in play, and it should kind of mitigate their biggest issue on the road, which is striking out. But guys, Kyle Freeland has a 6.38 ERA at home this season, and it's actually higher on the road at 8.31. So he has been objectively terrible away from home. 34 runs and 34 and two thirds. Dodgers are the best team in baseball against lefties over the last 2 weeks. Weighted on base average well over 400. Slugging percentage is 75 points higher than any other team. They should tee off on Freeland here, but I also think the Rockies can score some runs in this one too. So play the over 10 in this one, a little bit of a reduced juice price, -103.
Let me ask you about American League MVP. Talked a little bit about this with John Yastrzemski and with Will Hill yesterday on air. Yordan Alvarez now in the Triple Crown categories is 1/1,000th of a point behind Yandy Diaz right now for average. Alvarez leads the AL in homers, leads the AL in RBI. So in other words, he's 1/1,000th of a point, or more accurately, 2/1,000th of a point, winning all the Triple Crown categories. But then in the slash categories, he also leads in all those. OBP and slugging as well. Leads in hits. Right now, he's still shy of $2, and significantly shy of $2. See -150 in some spots on Yordan Alvarez. We're showing -160. I know everybody's waiting for this injury to happen, right? Oh, it always happens. It's going to happen at some point, and maybe it will. But if he stays healthy, isn't -160 unbelievably cheap at this point?
I think it's a pretty complex question, right? First of all, the injury thing. I mean, he played under 50 games last season, but he played 635 plate appearances in 2024, had full seasons in 21 and 22. So, like, there's some recency bias in just assuming he's going to get hurt because it happened last year multiple times. But that really hasn't been fully the case throughout the course of his career. The one thing that I think is going to be really interesting is, for all intents and purposes, he's a DH, right? The only DH that can really win this award usually is Shohei Ohtani, and that's because he pitches too. So that's the thing that I would be worried about a little bit here. I don't know that he has to have the Triple Crown in order to win this award, but I do think there are going to be some people who go, yeah, look, all he does is really hit, though. You know, he doesn't really play defense. He only played 14 games in left field. Is that something that maybe helps a Nick Kurtz, a Junior Caminero, who's out of this world hot right now? Crazy. I don't know. God. I mean, I wouldn't bet against Alvarez right now, but I am concerned that some people may hold it against him that he's a DH.
Yeah, you might be right. But boy, oh boy, those numbers are overwhelming at this point. All those counting stats and beyond the counting stats as well. Adam, always a pleasure. If you could manage the Guardians to lose a few more games, I'd appreciate that for my pre-flop under. I still owe you dinner.
I'll try.
When are we doing it? Come on. When are we doing it? Let's go.
Soon.
Gotta do it. Soon. Ladies and gentlemen, NBA team, or excuse me, season.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you are betting at Circus Sportsbook for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with crypto using BurraPay. That's B-U-R-R-A, BurraPay, and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurraPay.com to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at the Circus Sportsbook at Circa Resort Casino. BurraPay. Transaction fees waived as part of the campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. Gil Alexander in San Francisco, Kelly Bidlin back at the mothership, the VSiN Studios at Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Kelly, before we move on anything further, can I shout out Alex Blowers?
For sure.
Who works there at VSiN. We always thought his last name was Blowers, but turns out it's Blowers. This just in. Yeah. Shout out because for you know, last week, this week, one more week, I believe, here in San Francisco. What a shot. What audio, what video. He made it so idiot-proof that even an idiot like me could figure out how to set it up. Seriously.
Nah, it's been looking great. Looking great. Shout out to Darnell, Larry, and Chris, and everybody back there. Chris, I know, has been having to do some fine tuning with the audio a little bit, but nah, it's been awesome. And I mean, really the best part, Gil, it's good that the video and audio, you know, are great. That's important. But the fact that there's so little of delay between me and you, that's the best. That's what I was most concerned about. So that is nice. Yeah. Great job, Alex. Sorry. And go check out all his World Cup write-ups on the website, VSiN.com.
Look at that.
One of my favorite parts of 4th of July, Gil, was watching Matt Brown, American, explain all the problems that soccer has to Alex live at a pool party for about 20 minutes while he was trying to enjoy the France game.
Who's that, Matt Brown, was doing that?
Yeah, he was thoroughly explaining to Alex how soccer could be better. And he was, Alex, quite the trooper to put up with that while just watching the game.
That would have been worth attending just for that alone.
I yelled from like 15 feet away. I'm like, just let the man watch the game. Jeez.
America's splaining. Okay, real quick before we get to season win totals in the NBA, because shout out FanDuel for putting these up. Have you seen the LeBron James next team odds in the prediction markets shift
as they have? Yes, I have.
When we left here last week, the Warriors were the favorite to get LeBron James, at least LeBron James next team, to be more accurate with the wording. Now it is his Cleveland Cavaliers. Could LeBron do a third stint with the Cleveland Cavaliers, drafted by the Cavs? Left, came back, won a championship, left again. Could he go back? What is it? Minus 130-ish favorite on the Cavs?
Yeah, minus 137. And you know, you know how we've got, you know, you can bet into both sides of this, right, Gil? So I don't, maybe the more important number is just the no price on Cleveland at this point being plus 113. Like, just the fact that the no price is a dog price on Cleveland right now is jumping out to me. So yeah, it's we'll see, man. We'll see. I've been now that we've got a lot of the other big names out of the way, I had plenty of time, I think, the past couple days for just LeBron scenarios to just go through my brain. And it's I don't know, man. It just depends on what he wants, right? And all they're saying is he wants to be happy. And I don't know what that means. Like, does that mean winning a championship? Golf nearby, wine nearby. I don't know. The man's he's got a lot of interests, and you don't know. It's hard to say. We can't really use past examples of what guys decided to do in their age 41 season. You know, there's not exactly many out there.
Yeah, because, you know, on the one hand, hey, you get to team up with Steph. What a ratings bonanza that will be.
And maybe just fun, right? Fun for everybody.
And maybe fun. Trust me, the fog isn't here all the time. It's paradise most of the time. Just great living, right? He can afford everything. Versus going back home, and quite frankly, Kelly, probably the better basketball reason to go there, because you can go to a contender in the East that you are already an icon in, right? Beloved beyond belief there. You can actually help them get to an NBA finals, like legitimately. So you're right. I don't know. What does he want?
I just think it's tough. With these Eastern Conference teams, like, and we could go through about Cleveland. Okay. Golden State, you can make the case for, is it fun? It's a great story, right? You just went through it. Are they good enough though? Do me and you think that team is good enough to beat the Spurs or Thunder? No. And I don't.
Nope.
So like LeBron, I think LeBron probably has to think that way and has to think then that not winning a championship is okay. And I don't know if we've ever, you know, really seen that from LeBron. I don't know that I believe that. And then so then we've always had the out East conversation, right? Get out of the West, go out East somewhere. And I think that, you know, Cleveland, Miami, Philadelphia's popped up in this conversation here recently. I just don't know, like, Miami, can Giannis, LeBron, and Bam play together and actually make themselves or each other better? Like, I don't know. Man.
I don't know.
And then we start talking about Cleveland and Philly. Like LeBron just had to settle in to being the third option in LA. Like in Philly, you're talking about him being like the fourth option. Like, how realistic is that? And then I don't know why. I just can't get out of my head that like LeBron James and James Harden playing together is just never going to work.
Oh, God. I don't know.
Like, they, so yeah. I've been the guy that was like, go out East, got to get out of the West, go out East. I think there's been some recent developments, at least with reporting around Denver and Minnesota, that do make some sense to me. Now when we talk about guys playing together that can make each other better, I think Nikola Jokic and LeBron James could absolutely play together and make everybody else around them a lot better. So I do think that's interesting. And then can you make the argument that that pushes them into that level, or at least can contend with San Antonio and Oklahoma City? And you could. And I think Minnesota's interesting, too. I mean, I think Drew's joke about, you know, him killing LaMelo at some point is fair, and driving Chris Finch, those guys, everybody driving Chris Finch crazy. But as far as from a roster just construction standpoint, that team doesn't have any power forwards right now. Like, he slides in there pretty damn well right now. So I don't know. I think those are interesting. And then I think the team that we're not talking about enough, and this is a little bit on the LeBron camp of even making a comment about this already, but like the New York Knicks, I think are actually the team where he would fit very, very well. And I don't know if that's we've already heard, hey, they're out of the conversation. They would have been if they didn't win a championship, which I don't really know what that means. But I don't know. That's the one I can't stop thinking about, Gil. It's just, man, you add LeBron to that team. Whew. That is already, that's when that team becomes without a doubt the team to beat in the Eastern Conference to be.
But why would he want to go there at this point? Like, they won a championship without you, and now you're going to join that team? That doesn't sound like something he'd want.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I could be wrong.
No, Gil, yeah. I don't know. Right. I mean, the reason for would be championship caliber team, right? Then it's the Knicks and Madison Square Garden. But yeah, I don't, you know, like I've fought with some people on the Spurs over kind of that similar point. Like, I don't think he's going to want to, if he goes and wins a championship with the Spurs, I think we're mainly just going to remember that as Victor Wembanyama's first NBA championship, and deservedly so. I don't know that LeBron wants to be that guy.
Hey, real quick, I'll just give you a bunch of these and you can tell me if any of these interest you.
Yeah.
None of these are juiced more than -120 on either side, so let's forget about the juice. Thunder, 61.5. Talking about season win totals for next year.
Yeah, FanDuel, good job. They've got a bunch up. We want to go rapid fire through them, Gil. I'll go lean under on the Thunder.
Spurs, 60.5.
Lean under on the Spurs. Just because it's 60. We're talking into the 60s. Me and you had this whole conversation about the Thunder last season.
Knicks, 53.5.
All right, that one's tough. I'll lean over, but I can't bet that at that number.
I would have leaned under. T-Wolves, 47.5.
Over. Might be a bet for me.
All right, let's go to the Eastern Conference. Raptors, 46.5.
Man, lean over. Can't bet it, though, because it's all Kawhi injury luck, right? Like, how many games is he going to play?
It's actually Raptors, Sixers, and Heat, all 46.5.
Heat under until they show more. Sixers over, and you could say the same thing. Yeah, Embiid injuries, that's going to matter too. But I think that the younger players that they've got on that team that they're trying to develop already, I think that will be a good regular season team.
Let's bounce around here. Lakers, 45.5. Under. Okay. The most, actually I lied, the under is juiced here at -130.
Lean under, Gil. And I know they've been getting a lot of criticism here. I am kind of on the other side. I think this is Walker Kessler was always the guy that the Lakers had their eye on to pair with Luka. I know there's a lot of talk about overpaying for him. I think that's fair. That's fair. But this is what you had to do when you brought in Luka Doncic. You had to surround him with the type of players that make him better and allow him to elevate the rest of the team like we saw in Dallas. I think the Lakers are currently doing that. Does that translate into regular season success right away? I don't know. I probably lay off that one.
Last one, Pacers 43.5.
Over. And I think that would be a bet for me.
Okay. Coming back, we'll recap all the bets next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from San Francisco, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin back in Las Vegas here on A Numbers Game. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Reed Wilson: if Greg Peterson had said he's hotter than my love life instead of lava, I would have lost it. Oh, I thought he was going to say hotter than something else. Did you catch that, Kelly?
Yeah, I did.
Said it? Yeah.
I did, yep.
Yeah. Sean Casey, not that Sean Casey, but a different Sean Casey. What about LeBron goes to Cleveland with an ownership stake? That could be part of the deal as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Enright, Stephen Enright, good segment on Gil. That's what he calls the show, on Gil. Good segment on Gil. It's actually the Prince of Wales, William, or maybe the Prince of Wales with a WH. What was that referring to? Was that a Wes Reynolds moment, I think? Yeah.
Probably so. For how they're going to appeal their red card, yeah.
That's right. And that's the big drama of the day, right? How will the appeal, for those who missed it, Belgium now appealing. There wasn't an appeal process. FIFA granting Belgium the right to appeal. So Belgium said, hey, thank you very much. We will do that. On the suspension of Flo Balogun's red card that was issued in the Team USA Bosnia-Herzegovina match back in the round of 32. So we'll see how that drama plays out the rest of the day. As Paul Carr said, only 7 hours left till game time now. So there's plenty of time for that to go down. And obviously, go ahead.
I never got to tell my idea on air. Is the way you do this. Come on. If we're really just trying to build up ratings and excitement for the World Cup, we stretch this out all day, and when we start the game, we still don't have a decision on the appeal. And what we get for the first half of the World Cup is a little picture-in-picture action where we got a little box on the top right of the screen that is just a live shot of whatever courtroom this appeal is being decided in. I would like some of like the British like wigs going on, you know, that would be a good look as well. And then at halftime, after halftime, he emerges from the locker room in an Edwin Diaz like, you know, that song going with yes. Timmy Trumpets, and just runs out on the field and everybody goes crazy. That's how you do this. That's how you do it, FIFA.
$1 million Rob on Twitter. That hot dog eating contest tip was the greatest Numbers Game tip since Bruno Mars didn't wear a hat. This is
a good one.
This is a reference to, I don't even know if it was the Beating the Book podcast. It might have been the Betting Dork podcast at the time. Maybe it was the early Beating the Book. Bruno Mars' first Super Bowl halftime. And I said, there's no way he's wearing a hat. There was a prop at Bet Online at Wager on the Internet. Will Bruno Mars wear a hot hat? And I was like, dude, I just saw him the other day. He had a pompadour haircut. There's no way he's wearing a hat. And it cashed right away. So again, not the Nationals in 2019, not IGA in 2020 at the French, not Ole Miss at 2022 College World Series, not any of these things in between, but from Bruno in the hat to the hot dog eating tip. Thank you, $1 million Rob. I appreciate it very much. By the way, modest winning day on the tennis side. We hit on Elise Mertens as a slight favorite against Marie Buskova early this morning. Also hit on Linda Noskova just moments ago as a slight dog against Madison Keys, but lost in between on Alex Iala as a favorite against Jasmine Paolini. So what's that, a 6/10 of a unit winning day? So for the tournament, down 2 units, I believe it is. Somewhere, don't hold me to the exact decimal, but right around the 2-unit mark. Or again, Kelly, as I said, if you're to believe the idiots on Twitter, down 1 million.
Yeah, get it together.
Cleaning people out. It's incredible. By the way, if you told me before grass season, right, if we took our tennis season as a whole, if you told me before grass season, Gil, you're going to have an amazing grass court season until Wimbledon, and then Wimbledon's going to be kind of like middling, I would take it every time. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
But still time to have a winning Wimbledon, because we had a winning Australian Open. We had a winning French Open, and like really dramatically so on both of those. So hopefully a winning Wimbledon as well here. The only really bad portion of this tennis calendar year was a terrible stretch in February and March. Other than that, it's been constant, steady wins throughout. Red Sox most wins, July, 80-1. We're off to a great start, Kelly. 3-1. Red Sox are idle today, but they have a 3-game set at the White Sox and then a 3-game set at the Mets heading into the All-Star break next week. So got to take advantage of that, then regroup at the All-Star break, and then the sprint to the finish line. You got some soccer today, sir.
I do. Nothing. I don't think I'm going to play anything in either of these games today, Gil, but I got futures to sweat out here. Portugal to reach the quarters, still alive, plus 125, which is obviously not looking great right now. And then the old emotional hedge, right? This is how this works. I'll be rooting for Team USA, but if they lose, I make some money. Belgium to reach the quarters, 2-1. And then I did bet that Colombia money line plus 130 for tomorrow. Paul was talking about that one earlier. So, yeah, I've got that in action today, Colombia tomorrow.
Okay. Wes Reynolds, he has a soccer play tonight. USA, Belgium, over 2.5 goals. He thinks both teams score, but he's taking the over 2.5 goals at minus 140. So a play on the over, USA, Belgium tonight from Wes. And then Adam Burke was on the show. He's got a couple baseball plays. Padres today, minus 118 versus the Diamondbacks. He's also on the over in the Rockies Dodgers game, over 9.5 runs. Rockies Dodgers tonight. Rockies off to a 4-1 start in this month. Greg Peterson, not only dating tales, but also his Fab Five. By the way, how do you feel about the dating tale? When all said and done, cautiously optimistic for Greg?
Yeah.
A little worried? What's the story?
Yeah. Cautiously optimistic. You know, whatever's good for Greg is good for me. I don't really know if I like the idea of one weekend of hanging out together and then you're going to try some long-distance relationship right after.
Yeah, I don't like that so much. But we wish him the best. By the way, there it is. Greg Peterson, once again, in his own words, for those who have been enjoying my bad dating stories, bad news. His luck is finally turned around.
Starving. Man, look at that chicken parm. God.
Look at that chicken parm. We didn't give Greg's Fab Five. Can we go back to Greg's Fab Five before we get Paul's? Greg's Fab Five again on the baseball side. He is on the Yankees today with Cam Schlittler against the Rays. Monster four-game set in Tampa where the Yankees find themselves four games back to start. Again, by the end of this, they could be tied. They could be down eight. Or stuff in between. So he's on the Yankees today. This is the one they got to have with Schlittler on the hill at even money against the Rays. Then he's on the Braves today against the Mets. He is on the Padres as well, as was Adam Burke against the Diamondbacks. Greg is also playing the under in that Diamondbacks-Padres game, under 9. And Blue Jays-Giants, under 8 as well. Didn't he have a Cardinals pick in there in the middle somewhere? I think we had a bonus play as well.
I had to VSiN.com. Yeah, you can find all Greg's plays there. I think he was a little lighter today. I thought I grabbed them all, but I might have missed one or two.
He was. I will tell you right now. I will make good on this. Greg is on. I can't find it. Never mind. I thought I had it. He has something in the Cardinals game, but as you said, go to VSiN.com/picks for all subscribers. Now, Paul Carr, the headliner with all of our soccer plays for today and moving beyond today into tomorrow. So round of 16 today, round of 16 tomorrow. Then we're in the quarters starting on Thursday. Today, Spain over Portugal, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, straightforward Spain to beat Portugal. I think, Kelly, I will be on that as well. And then in the USA, Belgium game.
Sorry, Gil, just wanted to jump in on that one because I think that was a Felica play on Portugal to make the quarters. If anybody else out there tailed like I did, kind of asked Paul off air because I kind of feel this way too. I'm like, man, is Spain just going to hammer them today? Because I kind of feel like that. And he said, yeah, he kind of thinks that too. The problem is just keep in mind, if you bet a Portugal to reach the quarters, like I'm just going to ride it out. It's not exactly a super clean way to hedge this. That's a three-way line if you're laying 110 on Spain. So in theory, you could lose both bets. If there's a draw and then this goes later than that and gets settled in extra time. So just be careful if you did tail that Portugal to the quarters play that was given out on the show.
Spain, Portugal in Arlington, Texas. And then, of course, it's Team USA with or without Balogun. We don't know right now. Against Belgium. That one is in Seattle tonight. Huge excitement in the Pacific Northwest. Paul is taking United States over a first half goal. So he believes the United States will score in the first half. That is the bet from Paul at minus 110. Then tomorrow, the final day of the round of 16, Argentina versus Egypt. He is laying the wood with Argentina, laying 1.5 goals versus Team Egypt. And then Colombia to beat Switzerland. Colombia at plus 120 to do that on the three-way. So very straightforward in terms of the Spain, Argentina, and Colombia games. little bit different with the United States today, going over half a goal in the first half. Team USA, how you feeling about it, Kelly? What's your gut? What's your gut telling you?
Man, I think we get home, dude. I think we get home. I'm going to go with this is USA 2-1 extra time. Not penalties.
2-1 extra.
We get settled in extra time.
Very specific call. I like it. And if Team USA is able to advance, this will match the magical Landon Donovan-led run back in 2002 to get us to the quarterfinals. So let's go, Team USA.
Let's go. Belgium's been a dud. We can take care of these guys. Come on.
That's right. They're old. Old part of their golden generation. Prop Points next. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.